Go ahead and turn our Bibles if you haven't already. We're in the last week of this, Genesis chapter number 3. Again, we'll read verses 1 through 13 this morning, and then we'll get in right into the message. I got about 8 pages of notes. Hopefully, we can cover all those. If I'm not done by 12 o'clock, you got somewhere to go. You know where the door is at. Just don't slam it on your way out, okay? But Lord willing, we'll be done before that time. Let's go ahead and begin reading verse number 1. It says this: "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they showed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Let's have a word of prayer once again. Lord, we are grateful that we are able to be back in the church this morning. God, I pray that you continue to speak to our hearts as we go through your word. Lord, this morning, as we end the series on Satan attacking the family, God, I pray that we have taken these truths that you have given to us. Lord, I pray that even now more than ever that the leader of the house is more on guard for the attacks that Satan wants to have on his family. God, I pray that as the attacks come, that the man that you have called to lead the house would open up his scriptures and be able to use the word of God against the devil. Lord, I pray this morning, as the man tries to lead the family as you see fit, God, I pray that the woman that you have blessed him with would get behind him and follow him into the direction that you are leading them. Lord, I don't pray that for the wife, but I pray that for the children as well. God, we thank you for allowing us to be here once again. We ask it in your name. Amen. The attack on the family the last week of us dealing with this. The last several weeks, we have been dealing with how Satan not only attacks both the family, but the church family as well. We have seen many reasons why his attacks are successful. And here is why they are successful. That is because man has failed to take responsibility to lead the family. And men are probably saying, would you get off of my case? You've been on my case for 5 weeks. I will get off your case when you pick up the mantle and begin to lead the family the way God designed you to lead the family. Amen? God has given us an instruction book. He has given us the blueprint how to lead our family. But unfortunately, all of us included have shrugged off that responsibility sometime or another. Through this, I've wanted the man of the house to see the role in his family and why that role is so important. God has called the man, not the wife, but God has called the man to lead his family. And as he leads his family, his main goal as God has brought him on his path, his main goal through this is to present his family holy before God. See, there's going to come a day when all of us will stand before God. But man, we're in a little bit of a different position because God has called us to lead the family. And when we get to heaven, we're going to be held accountable for how we led our family. It's a scary situation to be in. Because let's be honest, not all of us have led according to the Word of God. We've all failed in this area. So our job is to present the family holy before God. The same goes for the pastor of the church. The pastor cannot shrug off his responsibility because his job is the same. His job is to present the church holy before God. Even in the church today, you have timid pastors. We've been dealing with this the last couple weeks. They're scared to lead the church, and because they're scared to lead the church, many problems arise, and there's great results because of that. You know, unfortunately, in our world today, not all pastors lead the church. Unfortunately, it's the woman behind the pastor that will end up leading the church. This morning, we will deal with two more ways that Satan begins to attack. But first, we'll have a quick recap of last week. Last week, we saw that Satan will try to redirect the church evangelism. Not only will Satan try to redirect church evangelism, but Satan will also try to redirect the course of the family as they're serving God. In other words, he's trying to get them off the course of not serving him. And that redirection is getting rid of church evangelism completely, and that redirection is getting rid of a family not wanting to serve God. The last thing we saw as we got through last week was Satan also tries to hinder your prayer. How does he try to hinder your prayer? By making it non-existent in your life. How does it become non-existent in our life? Through this. What hinders our prayer life is a schedule that we have allowed ourselves to become so busy that we have no time to get on our knees before a holy God to ask for protection, to ask for guidance, and to ask for wisdom in leading a family. So it becomes non-existent. But there are times in our life where the existence does come back because we will find ourselves in a category of wanting or needing something from an almighty God that we know that he can bestow upon us. And we come to him in great times of need. God, I'm facing some financial difficulties, some financial woes, and I'm your child and I want you to bless me. Well, wait a minute. Where's your prayer life been for the last 15 years? Where has your communication, where has your relationship developed with God during the last 15 years? See, we only call upon God when it's convenient for us. And it's only convenient for us when we see that we need a need in our life. God, I'm going to call upon you today because I've gone through a death in my family, and I need your peace and comfort to get us through this difficult time. Where has your prayer life been in the last 15 years? What has hindered your prayer life to keep you from calling upon God every single day of your life? Our schedule. Our schedule has allowed us to hinder us from going to God in prayer, and shame on us. Shame on us. Give me an amen for that one. I shouldn't have to search for those. It should be amen right away. But it's brought upon ourselves. But with that being said, it wouldn't hurt any of us to scale back just a little bit on some things. Scale back and maybe have a little bit more family time. Scale back and maybe make God a part of your life just a little bit more throughout the week. Scale back on some things. Scale back on some television. Television takes up a lot of our time. I'm so thankful that in the last couple months, my wife has said, you know, Chad, we really don't need this because we don't have time to sit down and really watch TV anymore. And that's a great thing. Folks, I don't know what's going on in the world anymore. Hallelujah to that. I don't know what's going on. All I care about what the Word of God says. I don't care of this disease and that disease. I'm not going to sit there and worry about those things because I have a God in my life who's going to take care of me if those diseases come my way. But I don't sit around and watch television no more. How about we scale back some television time? You know, it's kind of funny. I remember as a kid, Mom, Dad, you got to get us cable. Why do we need cable? Because Mom and Dad, there's like 85 channels that we can watch, and we can just scroll through those things and watch countless hours of television, and you'll never have to babysit us anymore. But you know what? We laugh, but that's what television's become. It's become a babysitter to our kids. And that's shame on us. Now my days are, my evenings, from 10:30 to 11:30. You know what I watch at night? From 10:30 to 11:30, I kid you not, Monday through Friday, I'm a Perry Mason fan. I can solve any mystery now. But I thank God for some wisdom in my wife's life for that. Scaling back some things in our life. Making some family time. Allowing yourself to get to know each other once again. But scale back even more so that we can allow God to come back into our lives, so that our prayer life is no longer hindered and we're seeking to have a relationship with God. There's nothing wrong with us wanting to develop a relationship with God further in life. There shouldn't be anything wrong with that. The ninth way that Satan begins to attack, and we're going to deal with our message this morning now, the family is this. He delights in scars he can attack later in life. Our sinful choices often leave scars in our life and in the lives of our children. Satan doesn't miss out on opportunities to rip them wide open right in front of us later on in life to get us to walk away from God. Satan's greatest responsibility, Satan's greatest job as you and I, when we first become believers in Jesus Christ, his greatest job, his greatest purpose to ever keep on going is to get you not to have a relationship with God. And through these attacks, this is number nine, through these attacks, now what he is going to do, he is going to dive into your past and he's going to bring up past scars that you and I have been dealt with. And he's going to use those for an opportunity to get you to see how horrible of an individual that you might have been at that point in time, so that you can hang your head down and so that you can say, God doesn't love me, God doesn't want to use me because of these scars in my life, and we walk away from an opportunity to be serving him. The devil, he thrives in bringing up your scars that have caused damage in the past. Even though you have sought forgiveness from God, he thrives to bring those about. But regardless, he loves to remind us all of what we have done. And we have a great source that we can turn to during these times. God has given us his holy word that we can turn to be an encouragement and to keep us from straying away from him. Turn your Bibles to the book of John, chapter number 8 this morning. Book of John, chapter number 8. We'll read a few verses here. And I hope this will make sense to you this morning. But John chapter 8, we'll read verses number 31 through verse number 32. Give you a few seconds to get there. I'm trying to listen to people as they talk to me. Chad, slow down just a little bit. We're still trying to turn to it. And so I'm trying to be cautious in that area. Verse number 31 of John chapter number 8, it says, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. First thing that you and I need to do as Satan begins to bring those scars to our recollection once again is what? To continue where? In the word. See, you and I, as children of God, we have no other alternative. We have no other source to turn to but to God and to His Word. It is during those times when our scars begin to haunt us and when they begin to come back, what normally happens is we begin to draw away from God instead of drawing to God. So what you and I should be desiring to do during that time, that scar process as it begins to go through our life, is to continue in His Word. For this reason, why? Because we're His disciples. Amen? We're His. We're no longer the world's. We no longer represent the world. Now we represent Christ. We're His. And so because we're His, if we want to find encouragement and if we want to find a way out in things in our life, is to continue in God's Word. And then I like what it says in verse number 32. It says this, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Okay, what do you got to explain about this verse? Okay, as Satan begins to bring those scars in your life, all you need to do is do this. "Satan, you dirty, rotten little scoundrel, I sought forgiveness for God. God has set me free. Leave me alone and get away from me." And then stomp your foot and say, "Get away, never again, Satan." The truth. Remind Satan of the truth of what God has done in your life. Remind Satan that God forgave you of those sins that you've committed. Sure, we all have scars. We all have things in our closets that we're not proud of. But God's forgiven you if you sought forgiveness. So don't let Satan have victory in your life over these things. But unfortunately, we allow him to have victory in our life because we're doing one thing wrong. We're not continuing in the Word of God. We try to handle things on our own. We try to fix it with some duct tape here and some duct tape there and maybe some chicken wire here and some chicken wire there. And in the process, we mess it all up. God forgave. Take great joy in that. Amen? Take great joy in that. Don't let Satan defeat you in your walk with him as you try to go forth in your life. Continue in His Word. Indeed, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Satan is one of the biggest historians around, constantly being a thorn in the side, reminding us of our shortcoming. And all we have to do through this is to remind him of his future. Yeah, Satan, I might have some scars in my life, but let me tell you this. God forgave me my scars, and here's where you're going to spend eternity. Here is where you're going to spend and dwell forever, to where you're never going to be able to bring these things up in front of my face ever again, because there's going to be a separation. You're no longer going to be able to haunt me with these things. Satan, you're going to burn in hell forever. That's what we need to do. Remind him of his future. We all have scars that remind us of our past. Some are visible and some are not visible. I have a scar. I've shared this story many times of my pinky. And I'm going to share it again. And some people would not see this unless I pointed my pinky right in front of their face. But I have a scar from my pinky. It's built up skin, because as I was running back from a little grocery store, or a little Quick Trip is what it's called back in the day on 21st and Avenue C, I was running back so excited with all the new zits I was going to get from the candy that I was just buying. I couldn't wait for those things to come so I can pop them. And I got so excited, and I tripped and fell over my feet because they're too big for me. And I slid on the concrete, and my hand was underneath my chest and ripped my fingernail off right away. That hurt. And I cried, and I yelled, and I screamed. But I got a scar to remind me of that. That scar reminds me of my little walk down to that Quick Trip store with my brother Wayne. That scar reminds me of the little candies that I bought that day and the little yellow mug that I filled right back up for 25 cents with pop. That scar reminds me of my little trip as I'd gone back forth on 20th and Avenue D as I'm approaching this curb and I trip over it. That scar reminds me of the pain that I had. But as I look at the scar, you know what I see? Something has been healed. Something has been healed. There's another scar that I have in my life that's pretty visible to some people. It involves another brother of mine. And oddly and strangely enough, it's not Jeff. Jeff did a lot of things, but he didn't give me scars in my life. He scarred my memory. But I have another scar. I have a half tooth today because of my brother, Matt. Down in the basement, we're mad at each other. I don't understand why Matt was even mad at me that day. But I remember him being in the corner of the room down there, and I'm by the steps at this point in time, and Matt finds this 9-volt battery. Matt was an angry child. Matt needed Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Matt was not saved at this point in time. I know he wasn't. I'm convinced Matt was on his way to hell. But Matt picked up this little 9-volt battery. Matt, if you're watching this morning later on, I love you, brother. Glad you got saved. But I remember Matt grabbing his 9-volt battery, and he chucked it across the room. And me, being a fool, had my mouth open. And that battery came and knocked my tooth right out. I never got it fixed for two reasons. One, I'm a preacher's kid. There's three reasons. The second reason is because all of a sudden we started having faith promise. So mom and dad started giving the faith promise, and Chad, you just need to have faith, God's going to heal your tooth. Just two reasons. I don't know why I got off that story on the subject. But anyway, we have scars that remind us of our past. And Satan is one of the biggest historians trying to dig up those things. Some scars are visible, some are not visible. But I thank God that we're able to go to him for forgiveness. The reason he throws the past in our face is because he's after to ruin our relationship. He likes to butt in when he isn't welcomed. Forgiveness from God has set us free, and we are no longer in bondage to those past mistakes. We will be in bondage if we decide to pick up that nasty, sinful lifestyle again that caused those scars. Which is why being in God's Word is so heavily preached from this pulpit. If you haven't figured out by now why a preacher preaches against sin, it's because he's trying to prevent you from the scars that can ruin your life. Teenagers, you might not understand why Jeff gets up there week after week and gives you things from God's Word to keep you from going out into a world that might scar you from life. You know why he does those things? Because he has scars that you cannot see. He has scars that ruined his relationship with God for a period in his life. He will tell you that those scars caused him not to serve God with his full heart. But thankfully he was able to say, God, I don't want to be in bondage to my scars anymore. Please forgive me of my wicked lifestyle that I have. Please set me free. And God set him free. And he's on the course that he's on today because of God, not because of him. See, he does those things because he doesn't want you to have those scars. Some are visible. Some are not visible. I hear him talk about his scars on many different occasions. And on many of those occasions, it's just a short, quick trip because him and I, we work together throughout the week. And when I get off work, we jump in a truck and we go mow and we have a good old time. But in just that brief time, he begins to talk about some things that haunt him from his past. And I know they haunt him because I begin to hear his voice crackle. And I begin to see a little tear come down his eyes. See, he doesn't want you to have those scars. Scars cause a lot of bad memories. But I'm thankful today we serve a God who can set us free from that type of a bondage. Amen? Amen to that. I'm going to give you some scars that can be damaging to your life that a lot of young people don't see its importance in this. And I'm going to name some things this morning. It's not going to be very popular. But again, I'm trying to help you later in life. The first one is this. It's premarital sex. Most don't think that this is a big deal, but it is. This ruins the intimacy of a marriage between a man and a wife. And it will haunt you later on down the road. Premarital sex will give you scars. It'll ruin that intimate moment with your spouse. The second scar goes with the first one, and that is living together before marriage. It is said that 59% of people live together before marriage. Oh, that's not bad. It's only 59%. Let me give you another stat. 33% of those end up in divorce. You might be saying, well, preacher, you're just an old fuddy-duddy. That's fine. You can live that way. But you are living against the way God designed for mankind to live. And you heard me right. I said, fine. Why? Because I won't answer to God for how you desire to live your life. I can only warn you. And by the way, you will answer. I will answer to him if I don't preach against it and warn you of the dangers. And I'll be honest with you, I won't perform ceremonies if asked. You mean you're not going to marry a couple if they're living together? No. Because of my convictions, because of the Word of God. But let me say this, please, please listen to this. That doesn't mean that I don't love the couple or I think ill of them. That's not the case. I just don't agree with it according to God's word. And I will be judged according to how I lead. Another scar that we don't think too much of is this. Drinking is another scar that many people have. And many people drink to drown their sorrows. Drunken people bear many scars. And get this, and many marriages are adrift because of it. Why do people drink in the first place? Because they are depressed. But friend, can I encourage you this morning? The Bible has a cure for your depression. It's called the Bible. Turn to it. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 30 this morning. We'll read this verse. It's found in verse number 6. It's amazing how quiet it got in here. Verse number 6 of 1 Samuel chapter number 30, it says this. It says, and David was greatly distressed for the people's sake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But look what David did at the end of this verse. Look what David did to not allow him to go into depression. Here's what he did. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Moving right along to the 10th way Satan tries to attack the family, and that is this. Number 10, he strives to wound the entire church family when a home falls apart. That's part of what it means to be a church. We will hurt when one hurts. Great anguish sets in when a brother and a sister in Christ choose to end their commitments made to God, which is why it's important to pray today for your family and then pray specifically for other families. Satan isn't out to protect us. He is out to hurt us. He is out to destroy us. He is out to ruin us. He wants us to have unlimited scars, so many that we will be embarrassed to even show our faces in the church. When we decide to break the commitment that we have made to God, is the day Satan can declare victory over you. Don't be fooled today. Don't be fooled. Because Satan wants to destroy you. He's living for that day. And wounding you is just the beginning. He just isn't out for one family member. He is out for us all. Which is why we should be found on our hands and knees praying that God will be protecting us from the attacks of Satan. Jesus was wounded so we wouldn't have to be. Turn your Bible to the book of Isaiah chapter number 53. I'm going to end with this passage. And as soon as I end with this passage, I'm going to have Chris come up and play the piano. We'll have her invitation. But Isaiah chapter number 53. Verse number 1, it says this: Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Verse number 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he openeth not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he is cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare this generation? For he was cut out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Jesus was wounded for you and I. For what reason? So that you and I would not have to go through the scars that we have in life. Mom and dad, for years, and I'm not just talking about my mom and dad, I'm talking about mom and dads that are out there right now, for years will spend a majority of their life protecting their kids from harm so they will not have the scars later on in life. Jesus was wounded for you and for me, to protect us from the scars that we should not be bearing in life. A lot of us have a lot of scars. And I will say this, with those scars, many of us have sought for forgiveness. But there's probably people in here this morning that bear scars that they never sought forgiveness for. And you need to take care of business with God today. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to ask Chris to come to the piano. I'm just going to ask her to play a verse or two. And if God has spoken to your heart, I would encourage you to come to the pulpit and to do business with God. Lord, we thank you for this time that you've allowed us to be here this morning. I thank you for the wounds that you took upon yourself to keep me from getting the scars in life that you tried to protect me from. But God, there are some scars that I've taken upon myself because there has been some times where I rejected you. There have been some times where I've walked away from you. But I stand before your people this day thanking you for your forgiveness that you give in life when we seek it. God, if there's somebody here this morning that is dealing with some scars that they have yet to deal with, Lord, I pray this morning as the altar is open that it be taken advantage of and we can give it to you. And give it to you and no longer deal with it. I ask you these things in your name. Amen.